The following programming is sponsored by Fatima Peters. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Peasley Media Group.
Hello, 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 Philadelphia. This is Fatima Peters with a live radio show empowering and inspiring you to create great opportunities for your life. We are here every Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. on WWDB Talk AM on your 860 a.m. Philadelphia dial, also on Spotify. So thanks to all our sponsors. My guest today is my friend, Grant Marlett, known as Nothing is Special.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you.
Welcome, Graham. We've been talking and planning to be here.
Yes.
And
yes,
to chat about this amazing profession. I love DJing. I used to DJ myself. I have done gigs back then, mm-hmm. you know, in the 90s. And I used to have a lot of fun. So today we're going to talk about the journey mm-hmm. when you began. And so since when?
So I started my, I guess, interest in DJing late high school. We had like high school and middle school dances that a friend of mine would DJ for. And so I would sometimes join him and he was the one that initially got me into DJing. And then he sort of stopped after high school and I decided.
Shouts to that friend.
Shouts out to you. I won't say his name on here.
What is the music then? What was the heats?
It was, oh man. So that was right when like dubstep was first coming out. So
really?
I remember the name, there was that guy Jack Wob who came in.
Man, I don't think I remember.
This was right when like Skrillex first put out his very first tape in the US and it was good.
I think everyone started music during that era mm-hmm. in the high school and mm-hmm. you know, having garage parties.
Yeah.
You know, I have asked my DJ friends and even me. I used to have friends around the house my mom worked for, mm-hmm. and we used to sneak into garage parties, you know, because everyone had a garage party.
Yeah, it was either garage parties or we would have those. There'd be like little warehouse parties, and I grew up in Portland, Oregon, and so we would be there in eastern Portland and northeast, and there was sometimes there was flyers for them. Sometimes you just kind of had to hear about them, but we would go to those, and that was a lot of fun. So that sort of got me into that.
And no cell phones.
Not really.
Hey.
I had the Virgin Mobile flip phone.
Had the Motorola
thing? The little Razor.
Yeah, I remember those too.
Yeah, so but that was about it.
Your curiosity to learn about music, mm-hmm. Did that start at Washington State? Or how did that go of you saying, well, we do. I want to be a DJ. I want to have that experience.
Yeah, so that was definitely at Washington State. That was, I started going there and I didn't really know what I was doing outside of high school. I was pretty, I didn't have a lot of friends in high school. So I sort of was just looking for, all right, what is life? What am I doing? What are my experiences mm-hmm. going to be? How can I, you know.
Connect with people.
How can I connect with people? Yeah. And I realized music was a really good way to do that. And we were going to different raves in Seattle, in Idaho, down in Portland. I mean, we would you know.
Raves. Oh, my God. Listen to that word. I remember this word, rave. What is the rave week?
It was wild. So it was a fun time, but it was definitely, you know, I think I was getting into a bit of
I guess.
It was a little bit too wild. Yeah, I was getting into sort of a rough crowd out there. Not rough so much, but just, you know, I was started doing drugs and started kind of being a little unsure of what exactly was going on and what I was chasing.
Do you think that normally one that is no friends and then is seeking friends, and obviously what is popular mm-hmm. is the parties and the drugs. So therefore that is like a calling for.
It can be really easy to just see, you know, oh, look at, you know, this. There's a lot of people doing this. I should be doing this too.
Otherwise you're an outsider.
Right. And, you know, there's levels to it. I think, you know, people see some people see, oh, they're smoking pot. That's you know, that's way too
just
far.
That. Yeah.
And other folks are like, oh man, at least I'm not, you know, on the street smoking rocks
something
or something.
Else.
And,
yes.
Yeah, and having,
yes.
you know, really, really.
So how did you wake
struggling.
Up?
So
what happened?
It was,
did music kind of pull you out, or did you, it's the chair.
I just hit my chair with my legs.
That's all right. That's funny though.
So I remember going to these, I was in sort of in this cloud fugue state for about a year where I was just sort of not really, I wasn't really living life with intention.
Yeah.
And I remember,
I like
being,
that word, by the way.
Intention. It's very, yes, very important in life. I remember being at the rave. I shouldn't even call it a rave. It was like an EDM dubstep house music festival. Mm-hmm. It was called Paradiso at the Gorge Amphitheater in Washington. Oh. Beautiful.
Oh my
beautiful
goodness!
Place. Absolutely.
Imagine
beautiful.
The sound of that.
Oh, unbelievable! I mean, you can lay on the grass and feel everything. Just
well, and there's a thing about music therapy, you know.
Oh yeah.
I produce sound healing, so I can imagine it's probably similar to dome healing. You know, mm-hmm, how people just lay on the ground and the music. Wow.
Yeah. So,
and you were there.
So I was there, and there was a moment where I think it was Eric Prydz, the DJ, he was a trance DJ, and I remember just laying back and listening to his set, and I thought to myself, this is one of the most incredible experiences of just having this one, almost in my mind at the time, almost a godlike figure sort of just controlling the atmosphere, controlling everything that was going on, and just really providing this.
It's like a maestro.
As you said, a therapeutic space where people can really just be completely encapsulated in the moment in this one space and time and not be worried about all the other stuff going on, but really just have that one bit. And so I saw that and I was like, I want to do that.
Wow.
And
did you take steps for that? I mean,
sure.
How did you?
I looked up different audio production softwares and stuff, because I didn't really know how to play any instruments. I took bass guitar lessons in middle school, never got very good at it. So I kind of was just, I was kind of just starting from new. I had a little bit of DJ skills. So I knew how to mix.
Operate the board.
Right. Yeah. I knew how to beat match. I didn't know how to do any like vinyl scratching or anything like that. But digital DJing, I was pretty good at, where I could, match up the tempos and everything. And I had an idea of what I was doing. But production, I realized, okay, I could take other people's music and mix it together, but I want to make my own music. Mm.
The creativity of that.
And I was going on YouTube and just looking up for hours. I'd, you know, look up how to use Ableton was the program that I ended up getting. Of course, I looked up how much Ableton was, and I said, well, okay, I guess I'll try to find a free version of this at first.
Yeah. So. And see, in those days, you know, schooling and all that, I mean, I remember searching for free software as well.
Yeah, you know, we won't use the
word. That's it. Yeah. And when did you get to New York?
So I got to New York, I guess technically it was early 2015. I was supposed to go there early 2014 or late 2014, but I ended up having a bit of an accident and I broke my foot and had to get surgery and stuff. Yeah, I was rock climbing and I fell and just shattered a bunch of bones. So I ended up getting surgery and I had to defer my enrollment for a semester because I just was immobile pretty much. And I got there late 2015. I left Washington State around 2013, I think. Around there. And
from one end of the country to the other.
Well, Washington State is just in, you know, there's like 30,000 people in the town and 25,000 are students and faculty at the college.
Wow.
So it's really, I mean, you got to drive an hour from the middle of nowhere to get to this place. Like,
Wow. And in New York, you and I were chatting, you took philosophy, psychology
yeah.
over there,
yeah.
which is pretty much the same, but psychology in New York. And in that probably united your being, you know, all your desires, all the way of producing this.
Yeah, I mean, I was initially going to go and study contemporary music when I went up there. And there's this little voice in the back of my mind that goes, oh, you should have studied music. But I know myself and I know how I, especially back then, maybe now it's a little bit different because I've had more years outside of school to grow and learn as a person and sort of mature in that sense. But back then I was very resistant to people telling me what to do. I was very resistant to school. I mean, I graduated high school with like a 2.5 GPA. Not because I was dumb. I just didn't like school. I didn't want to do homework. I didn't want to be told what to do.
Yeah.
I found out when I was 15 I needed glasses, and that probably didn't help that I couldn't see the board for about 3 years.
There's a lot about that nowadays, because I'm a teacher, and I'm learning philosophy now, and also how to produce the curriculum for a school. And it's going to have to change, because to entice kids to want to be in school. Because there's so much time there, you know?
And it's so, such a tricky balance of finding, you know, okay, what do you want to learn about? Well, what do we have to teach you?
Correct.
What do you need to learn? And, you know, trying to get an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old kid or even a 15-year-old kid to realize the importance of some of this stuff.
Of the future, of their future.
Because the prefrontal cortex just isn't grown. The brain's not grown yet. And it's not those synaptic connections. Yeah, they want to play. They want to
play. I want to play and go home. And by the way, can we talk? Can we draw? And so when you are in New York and you study at the New School, right? Mm-hmm. Which then, or you still is Parsons, which I love so much. I studied there. So what was the music park part of your studies? Did you ever study any music?
I did take a couple music classes there.
Your degree is in what?
I have a master's degree in psychology. So I have a master's degree in psychology with a focus on cognitive memory studies and social psychology.
Well, that's so nice. That's we have so much in common, though, because with emotion management school, that's what I teach. You know, it is important, though. That part of your studies, perhaps the most important thing nowadays, and that makes you kinder. That makes you understand people. Mm-hmm. You were saying something about connectivity.
Yeah,
and when you got there and you study psychology. You realize the humans, they are drawn to each other. They need that.
Yeah. One of the most base instincts for people is just the sense of community, togetherness, oneness, being connected with others. And you could trace that 200,000 years back to when we were living in caves and we needed friends. We needed allies next to us around the fire. It was dark outside. There was wolves out there and you needed people around you. And it's, you know, you could use that same analogy today for the whole entire world. I mean, if someone is alone in the world, especially in a day where, you know, you've got cell phones and internet and you've got ways to connect with people so much, when you're feeling so alone in a world like this, it is just devastating. Because
it is.
When you're not alone. I mean, New York is one of the craziest examples, because there were many times in New York where I was feeling more alone there, even though I was surrounded by millions of people. I could hear screaming arguments outside my window. I could hear laughter. I could hear buses going by filled with people. And I felt so isolated.
It's
just incredible how that works.
We're going to come back and we're going to talk about how music united people, how important it is to be in an ambient where a DJ is playing something that is connecting people, because you can't be alone in there.
No, you're all on the same wavelength in that area.
That's
so
it. Yeah. So we'll thank our sponsors. I'll be back with Graham and talk about that.
Unlock the potential of emotional intelligence in your workplace. Discover how understanding emotions can boost team integration, dynamics, motivation, and behavior, positively impacting sales and company culture. We offer affordable training with self-awareness and self-management practical tools for a harmonious work environment. Elevate your team's performance today. Visit emotionmanagementschool.com or call 267-671-0773.
Did you always have the desire to sing? Don't fall prey to limiting beliefs. Impossible is not a fact. It's an opinion. Master vocal technician John Nicholas Peters is the one to break down barriers and help you achieve your ultimate vocal potential. Students say he's the most brilliant vocal coach ever. You'll learn more in a short time than prior years of training. Visit www.vocaltechnician.com or call 215-487-2517 and start the journey to your greatest dream. dream.
Game Time is a sports-soaked therapy used by professional athletes, health, and wellness providers worldwide to aid in the recovery process unlike any other product in today's healthcare industry. Recover faster. Use before and after activities or workouts to prevent injury. We work out extremely hard to stay fit, so protect your body. Stay healthy with Game Time recovery products. Order yours today. Go to the website GameTimeSportsProducts.com.
Hello, 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 Philadelphia. This is Fatima Peters with a live radio show. We're back for the second half of the show, and I'm talking to my friend Grand Marlitt, known as Nothing Special DJ. Yay! And we're talking about psychology behind the music, how music can heal and make us happy and connect. So, Graham, you and I were chatting that one of the reasons you became a DJ is actually to connect with people. So tell us a little bit about that.
So I really wanted to sort of give people that same experience that I had when I was in the crowd, and I just felt completely separated is not the right word, but completely immersed, I think is the right way to put it. I felt completely immersed in that sense of just oneness with all these other people around me.
And feeling the music,
feeling that sense of oneness and, you know, dancing, being, you know, moving around. It was just wonderful. And I think that the thing I sort of realized on my journey is, you know, 10 years ago, 11 years ago, when I was first starting to make music at Washington, it was really about being a DJ, making, you know, I wanted to give people those like surprise bass drops and sort of have that sense of like, oh, what did he just do? And there's still a part of me that loves that and that wants to make fun stuff like that, which I think you can hear when you listen to my music. But I've sort of shifted across the spectrum a little bit because when I moved to New York, my tastes had changed wildly just in that 4 or 5 years. And I sort of wanted to explore more the hip hop side of things and started making like beats and really started making more slower tempo, kind of lower energy, wanted to slow it down a little bit. And I sort of wanted to explore that other side of me. And I found that, oh, there's this whole other community of people
that
responds to this versus this other type of music that I was making.
Hey, well, I guess all music is really incredible.
I mean,
I listen. I like hypnotic. I like bass, loud music. I'm a very, you know, wide range listener. So we're going to listen. Tell us, what is this mix that we're going to hear?
So the first track of this mix that you're going to hear is actually the latest thing that I just put out, which I created actually in a pretty short time span. And it was something that I crafted just headphones, laptop. I had my little mini 24-key Akai keyboard, a little tiny MIDI thing next to me. And it was something that really made me just feel, it brought me back to those moments of dancing.
Well, this is what I say, how to make something out of nothing. Mm-hmm. So it's very important to be raw and to create, you know, in your own space and without any judgment of anything.
Yeah.
Let's listen to this beat and then we'll talk a little more after that.
Sounds good.
Thank you. Wow, wow, wow. Sexy, huh? This is a sexy beat. Yeah. This is nice. Yeah. I enjoy it. I was actually dancing here. Yeah,
I can confirm. There were hands in the air.
This is fun. I always wanted to do that scratchy thing,
Thank you. Yeah.
This is fun. And so when you're doing that, mm-hmm. you see, you make people move, mm-hmm. right? That's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And you also, in that same moment, you're creating a song mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. you're manipulating all the notes mm-hmm. because that's what you're doing, right? You're playing the keyboard there.
So tell me the very first track. There's three songs in that little mix there.
The first one
was called Number 55, and that one just came out recently. And that name means nothing.
DJs will know, right?
I guess. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the reason it's called Number 55 is because my friend Chaz, who's on Instagram as ChazTunes, he made this little animation where there's this guy kind of shaking his finger like this.
Oh, I've seen it. It came on my Instagram. I know. That goes like this.
Yeah, so that was Dikembe Mutombo's little no. So he said, why don't you call it Number 55? And I was like, all right, sure. Yeah,
I like it. Well, this is fun. So, interesting. So, you know, I interview DJs. Not quite often, but this week it seemed like this 3 weeks of DJing.
Yeah, first Ben, then me.
Yeah, then you. Yeah, and Hannah Golden too. So the point is this: there's some people that don't like music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I actually know.
Shockingly enough, yeah.
You know something? There's some people just think that music's noise, but it's not true. Yeah. I mean, once you introduce the right song, mm-hmm. I mean, maybe they don't like the beat, that beat. But it makes you happy.
Well, and I one of my favorite quotes of all time is, and I forget who say this, so I'm not going to misquote anybody, but one of my favorite things that I certainly did not make this up, but artwork, like visual artwork, is how you decorate your space.
Yeah.
And music is how you decorate your time.
Oh, that is so awesome.
It's beautiful.
I enjoy that.
And I think that that's really important because there's certain music that I love. And like you, I'm a big fan of all types of genres.
Yeah.
I mean, when I'm at the gym, I'll listen to heavy metal or you know, old EDM
stuff.
When I'm in the car, sometimes I'll listen to like country music or I'll listen to jazz. I love jazz. Yeah.
Well, WXTU is right here in the building.
Right. No,
yay.
I mean, I love throwing on the radio and just listening to, you know, soft piano when it's raining.
Me too.
But it really does. It depends on your mood. It depends on how you're feeling. And it depends on what you are. It depends on your intention in
Very
that moment.
Very true.
Because if you're not intentional with the music you're listening to at that moment, maybe it will just start sounding like
it is so true. It is so true. I offer, you know, therapeutic sessions, you know, mm-hmm. in my office. And quite often I'll have music, mm-hmm. you know, to soothe the moment, mm-hmm. to introduce the person to a new realization, mm-hmm. to a new thought,
yeah.
you know, and music will touch the soul.
It really will. And there's a whole bunch of science behind the frequencies of notes as well.
Yeah. I was doing that yesterday.
Yeah.
So as a matter of fact, I made a note, you know, how the I called the ABCs of the body,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm like, what? I never knew that.
Yeah.
So, you know, how the A crystal ball is for the third eye, the mm-hmm. B to the crown, the C to the root,
mm-hmm.
the D to sacral, mm. you know, E to solar plexus, F to the heart, and G to the throat.
Yeah.
I mean, those
are
the notes.
I'm going to need you to send me that.
I'll send you this. This is, and we do sound healing at the school, mm-hmm. at Emotion Management School. And Alejandra Suarez is my sound healing technician. And she uses tuning forks
mm-hmm.
and crystal balls.
Yeah. Yeah.
For therapies.
There is so much to be said about that kind of stuff because it really, the just the frequencies that tickle the little cochlea hairs in your ears. I mean, that right there does so much for your experience and how you're feeling inside your body.
I mean,
I know for myself personally, I experience my own anxieties and stuff in my stomach. That's where it tends
to. Solar plexus. Solar plexus.
Yeah, I mean,
note E.
So I love songs in E major and E minor.
Really?
I'm sure if you were to go into a lot of the songs that I love, I'm sure that E major and E minor are just E centric songs. I mean, you could go to A minor, which has that seventh note up on E. So you can have a lot of different
And amazing.
Ways to get that in there.
And amazing.
It is. It is.
Yeah. It's I would love for you to come back. We need to talk about music therapy. We mm-hmm. need to talk about psychology mm-hmm. in today's world. Mm-hmm. I have autistic kids that mm-hmm. come for sessions. And guess what? Music is what moves them.
Mm-hmm.
Music mm-hmm. is what I get, how I get them to focus. Art yeah. in general. Is it a drawing? Mm-hmm. Poem or music, yeah. and that's incredible.
It really is. Well, because I think that the thing I'll sort of I guess close off. I don't know where we're at time wise, but
we do have.
I'll close up, I guess, a little bit by just saying that the thing with music that really wows me is that it is so intangible. You can't necessarily like sure you can say oh it's in A minor and you do hit the ninth note here blah uh-huh. blah blah, but that could mean 1,000 different things depending on the instrument, depending on the rhythm, depending on the feeling, the emotion, the little adjustments of your voice or the guitar,
the ambiance,
everything about
the equipment used.
And I think that the thing that people get caught up in is wanting something and really chasing after this one thing. But I believe that if you really, really want something and you really are chasing after it all the time, that's the quickest way to make it run away. And that's the quickest way to lose
it. This is so perfect because I always say, and my students know that I say this quite often, if you're running after something, that something is running from you.
Yep, it's running away. It is.
Yeah, it's the resistance.
You have to be the bodhisattva under the tree, just sitting and waiting. And you just have to
be nothing.
You have to be nothing.
Yes, nothing is so everything.
We all come from nothing. We will all return to nothing.
Yes, yes.
Nothing is special.
Well, nothing is special. That is true. And I mean, it's so awesome. See how time flies.
Mm-hmm.
It flies.
Amazing.
But you'll come back.
Oh, I will.
I know you'll come back. So thank you for being with us, Grand Marlitt people, and Nothing Special. What's your Instagram?
You can find me at @its_nothing_special_okay. Or if you search Nothing Special, it usually pops up. But
yeah, let's listen to Nothing Special, DJ, and have the body moving.
Yes,
thank you. I'll see you next week.
Thank you so much.